1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 104,000. We get a thing today on the money. This is Friday's totals. Of course not. President's Day. Okay. Anyway, as of Friday, we got $104,431 through the sale of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of 2000 CD and Picture Disc Vinyl LP. And if you'd like to pick that up, all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. You can call 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. And it's $20, $350 shipping and handling. So this event yesterday, this very tragic occurrence yesterday at Daytona, the death of race car driver Dale Earnhardt, sort of has people talking. It's always interesting to me what becomes the buzz of the day, so to speak. And it sort of struck me last night when I got the news. I actually got it off of CNN online last evening when I was at home, and then I mentioned it to our eldest son, and then I mentioned it to my wife. So people sort of are talking about this man dying out there on the racetrack at Daytona. Now, if you're not a race car fan per se, probably the knee-jerk response is, oh, it's a dumb sport. It's just a dumb sport. And why do we do that? And they ought to outlaw it. There's all kinds of knee-jerk things that happen when something like this occurs, you know. Why don't they stop the race? Why don't they put a moratorium on the entire season? Why, if anybody died in baseball, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, sports, I got to tell you, just my opinion, sports, and of course then there's the people who say, well, racing isn't a sport. Well, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Sports is the place where we let the rules go out the window. Don't you get it? That's why we have sports. Because all day long, we're told you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go here and you can't go there and you can't say this and you can't say that. You can't fart here. You can only crap there. You can't cut your hair this way. You got to have it that way. You're told we've got rules in this world. In the world of sports, it's the only place where those rules go out the window. Yeah, you got to throw the ball in the strike zone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the normal rules that govern decorum in society, for the most part, go out the window in the world of sports. That's the way we want it. That's the way we like it. That's the way we structured it. You can't start asking questions after the fact. Well, why is there death in motor racing? And that's just terrible. Because that's what we want. We don't want someone to die, but we've already accepted that those are the risks. Why is it acceptable for a man to take a baseball and throw it willingly at 100 miles an hour at another man's head? It is acceptable. It is legal. They do it all the time. It's called baseball. Why is it okay to take a stick? Now, this guy that they put up on trial, is McSorley, what is that? What's that about? You see, when you take a guy off the ice, as they did this McSorley moron, and he's an idiot, and his career's over, and he did it to himself because he didn't play the game, quote, according to the rules. But the point is, you can't take that guy off the ice and prosecute him criminally or even civilly, because then what you've done is you have completely negated, you've disallowed, you've disavowed, you're changing the rules, man, of how we set this thing up. And the way we set this thing up was, sports is where we get to go to have violence and death, and it's okay sometimes. We don't want it. We don't expect it. We're not planning for it. But if it's a byproduct of the game, that's part of the game. We've already decided that. That's the way it was. That's the way it is now. And that's the way it's always going to be. Unless, of course, you want to destroy sports forever. Unless you want to change it all and make a new rule. And then it ain't what. Then it's something else entirely. I don't know what it is. Then you might as well have cops on the field. You might as well have cops skating around on the ice and have them driving down the backstretch of Daytona just to make sure that this guy, who was this guy, Marlon, Sterling Marlon, somebody bumped Dale Earnhardt's car from behind. You're aware of that. All of you people in the know, you know that, right? Are you aware of the fact that drivers do that all the time to each other? Dale Earnhardt was a practitioner of that. Door banging, little bumper slapping, that happens in NASCAR. You want to arrest that guy, Marlon, now? How about arresting him? You want to take him out of his car? You want to put him in handcuffs and say, You know, you bump somebody's car at 200 miles an hour, that ain't like a fender bender. That ain't like tapping somebody in a traffic jam on the freeway. What happens sometimes is what happened to Dale Earnhardt. You T-bone, you go 90 degrees to a wall, you go slam into that thing, you get T-boned by another guy, and you're dead. Look, I do not like it. I'm sad for the man, I'm sad for his family, but you can't change the rules. The rules are, when we go to see a sporting event, that's a possible byproduct. If you don't like it, if you're not a sports fan, then stay away. Just stay away. Don't try to change it. Don't try to go to court. Don't try to pass a law, because you don't get it in the first place. Because if you got Marty McSorley in front of a judge for slapping that guy with a stick, then you better take this guy Marlon or whoever it was that bumped Dale Earnhardt from behind and stick him in front of a judge. No difference at all. And you can take every pitcher that ever threw a hardball at a guy's head, 100-mile-an-hour fastball, to try to push somebody back off the plate, you stick him in front of a judge too. Because that's the way it is. That's why they screwed up with that McSorley thing. That's why that was had no place whatsoever. Now, that's Canada. Thank God it wasn't America. You know, I messed up there anyway. But anyway, well, you know what I'm saying. What was his name? Sterling Marlin. This is the guy that bumped him from behind. That's just the way it is. Now, the other thing that I noticed today was the tendency that we all have when someone famous dies, and that is the guy was a big, 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 big hero. Well, Dale Earnhardt was a great race car driver. I don't know anything about his life. Do you? I'm sure he was a fine father. He seems loved by his son. I'm sure he'll be missed by his family. His friends love him. Beyond that, let's not get carried away, okay? The guy drove cars real fast for a living. He was an entertainer. Now, race car driving, I shouldn't say that. You see, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, you might as well be a clown in a circus. As far as I'm concerned, football, baseball, basketball, Ringling Brothers, they're all the same thing. It's a bunch of clowns running around in costumes for our entertainment. You can try to prove me wrong, but you won't. You'll never prove me wrong. Football, baseball, basketball, organ grinders with monkeys, and circuses are all on the same plane. They all do the same thing. They take 45 minutes, 2 hours, or 3 hours of our lives and try to brighten them up and make them interesting. And that's all they do. Race car driving is a little bit different. Race car driving is the only sport that I can think of that actually adds something or contributes something to society. Carburation, fuel, tires, chassis, all of the things that go into a regular passenger car, all of the things that go into the car you're driving right now, are tested often out on the racetracks of America. So those guys that go out there and do the Daytona 500, the Indy 500, all those funny races that you hear about with the funny-looking open-wheel cars, they're actually testing things that eventually may find their way into your automobile. They're contributing something. So from that standpoint, when a guy like Dale Earnhardt goes, I feel a little bit extra something. I don't know what. Just a little bit more of a loss, perhaps. It doesn't make the guy a hero, to me, necessarily, but it makes his loss a bit more significant, at least in my life. Whereas, for instance, God rest their soul, if a boxer goes down and those poor guys, I mean, is there anything more sad than a fighter carried out of the ring in a coma? Or a hockey player, basketball player, whatever, as tragic as it may be, it's not quite as significant. Seriously. I mean, seriously. I don't want to, I'm not saying that it isn't as sad, it isn't as tragic, but in terms of their kind, what the hell does hockey do for the world? Other than give us a couple of laughs watching a bunch of fat Canadian farm boys beating the teeth out of each other's heads. What does that do? What does football do? Especially now we got the XFL. It's even more like the circus. They talk about it being like pro wrestling. It's like Ringling Brothers. And what is baseball? It's all just, as Howard Beale said there, a network boredom killing. But race car driving, auto racing, a little bit something extra there. However, the guy is another race car driver that bit the dust. Now, one more comment. People say, well, I hate to see a guy get killed, but, that's the byproduct of the race. And, it's terrible when we see those automobile accidents. Well, everybody goes to the races hoping to see one. Everyone goes to auto racing at least to hope to see at least one. They don't want to see anybody get killed. But especially NASCAR, where they're so close together and they're drafting so tightly. And what happened in the first lap? Was it the first lap, Craig, yesterday? Or how many laps in where they had that big 18 part? I mean, they had a big every year. Every year they got to put the caution flag out because they've had 18 or 20 cars end over end someplace. Every year at Daytona. That's part of it. People dig it. They like to see it. It's a lot of fun. You don't want to see anybody get killed. But hey. The other thing is there's a little bit of poetic justice in auto racing. If there's a bloodthirsty fan up there who wants to see actually someone die, there's a chance, not a good chance, but there's a chance a tire can come loose, go sailing up into the grandstand, and maybe land on that guy. So, you know, God sends these little things. They red flagged what lap? The 18-car pileup got red flagged, so the race was literally stopped. Well, you can't have 18 cars, 18 cars worth of garbage laying out there without stopping the race, I guess. That's racing. That's why people go. And so our condolences for what it's worth from the Phil Hendry Show for that family and for racing fans. You guys who are real racing fans, you know exactly what it is I'm talking about. And the rest of you guys that weigh in every time something like this happens, non-sports fans who weigh in. See, that's the reason why we don't like sports. Because why? Because it's a little bit of a test? Because it's a little bit of a risk? Is that why you don't like sports? I don't trust people that don't like sports. I don't want to have anything to do with people that don't like sports. I don't want them in my home. I don't want them on my street. I don't want them in my place of business. When someone says to me, I don't like sports, you know what? I would just as soon see them get in a car and go into a wall. You have to like sports. You have to appreciate what it gives us. It's that area of risk where it's okay for somebody to die and nobody has to be at fault. People can risk it, go for it, maybe they win, maybe they die, and nobody gets arrested. Now, if you don't dig that, well, you're just not an American. Thank you. And let me just say in conclusion, I think that about sums it up, don't you? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Mike Schaefer, who produces our show, made a good point here during the break. He said, Phil, when you say that you don't like people who don't like sports, does that include baseball? I said, no, that's a very good point, Mike. Thank you. Now, of course it doesn't include baseball. If you hate baseball, you're still a man. In fact, you're more of a man. So thank you for pointing that out. Because I said, well, I don't like people who don't like sports. I don't trust people who don't like sports. But anybody that says to me they can't stand baseball, you're in a club. You're my man. You know how much I used to live and die with the Dodgers when I was a kid? I can't even begin to describe I was such a Dodger fan. I had Sandy Koufax's face, Maury Wills, and John Roseborough all hanging up in my little bedroom there, little 11-year-old Phil Hendry. I cried when they lost that one-game playoff to the Giants in 62. I wept bitter tears. And when they swept the Yankees in 63, four straight, I loved it. But you know what? Something's happened to me. It's called Fox. No, I'm kidding. It's not Fox. It happened a lot. a lot longer before those guys came on the scene, man. They've just the stench has ripened with them. But it's not even the team. It's not even the Dodgers. Just, you know what? I'm not interested in the game anymore. There's nothing wrong with the Dodgers that whatever the hell another $200 million payroll can't fix. I'm sure. I mean, they're going to be fine, and as all ball clubs will be fine, they'll learn how to play that curious game called baseball. But for me, I'm not interested in the game anymore. It's slow. It's dull. It's nothing. Good for you. Have yourselves a ball. So that's funny that you mention that. You know, I say, well, do you like sports? Any man that doesn't like sports is not. Well, I hate baseball. Hey, geez, you're right. Every normal sports fan hates baseball. Every good, solid sports fan, real sports fans, hate baseball. We like hockey. We like basketball. Yes, I said basketball. And we like our football, all kinds, XFL, NFL. We might even jones for some CFL. I get on the CFL. This is my thing. Call me weird, call me nuts. You don't get my game beats yours any day of the week. I will not watch a baseball game. Okay, so that having been said, I have a question for you. Before we get to the bottom of the hour, we have a few more things to do in our program. Has Laura Bush said anything yet? Does she talk? Seriously, have you heard her say a word? Have you heard her? Does anybody out there, has she said anything? In other words, I've seen her, and she's got a look on her face. I think her jaw is wired shut. She's got that grin, you know what I'm saying? And it's a beautiful smile, and she's not a bad-looking woman. She hasn't said anything. I think it's either one of the greatest achievements in the history of man on this planet, or there's something very seriously wrong, because by this point in every presidency, most of the first ladies have been running their yaps more than their husbands. Barbara Bush was running around with the Big Bird last... You think she's a Stepford? Taylor thinks she's a robot. You've heard that she's given a speech? Well, they must be the dullest speeches in the history of God on this planet, because I ain't seen any coverage of these things. We got a soundbite from that Laura Bush you don't want to do. Okay, let's forget it. It was no good? No. Hi, I'm Laura Bush. I mean, I don't know how bad it could get. I haven't heard her say anything. She's there with her hub, and she's not saying a word. Also, one other thing I wanted to mention to you. I got a hold of one of these. Tell me if you guys think this is bad. I got a hold of one of these $20, fake $20 bills that they use in the movies. Friend of mine's brother works in the film business, and they have $20 fake money props. Maybe you've seen them. They look like $20 bills. They look very realistic, but they're used for long shots, too. Close-up shots, they use real money, but long shots, they'll use these fake 20s. So he gave me this, and I said to one of the kids, I said, look at this, and the kids were all jazzed. Oh, look at that, it's fake money. They use that in the movies? Yeah, oh, that's really cool. I said, look, do this. Do this with it. Fold it up and put it in the palm of your hand and walk up to your teacher at school and slap it into her head and say, Mrs. Jones, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. And, you know, keep walking. We get in trouble. Like, you're going to get in trouble for what? Well, it's disrespect. How is it disrespectful? It's fake. It ain't a real 20. Just go up there and say, like your third grade teacher, yeah, Mrs. Brown, I just want to thank you for everything you've been doing. It's just, you're just beautiful. Thanks a lot. And just slip her the 20. And then she'll unfold it, look at it, realize it's a fake, and laugh. Kids don't want to do it. They're so petrified of their teachers. Apparently their teachers are so devoid of a sense of humor. I don't know what's going on. They're scared to death to do that. I prayed. I pleaded. I begged. Please. What's wrong with that? It's one of the funniest things in the world. Roll a 20 up in your hand and, like, walk up to who would you like, you know, like your boss. Go up to your boss with a $20 play. Hey, listen, I just want to thank you for everything you've been doing. Tip the guy $20 and walk away. I think it's a beautiful thing. Can't have fun anymore, though, man. You know? Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show here. And we have made $104,000, the number one rated Phil Henry Show, best of the year 2000. I don't know why I want them to do that. You know what? It's bothering me now. I want to challenge them. It ought to be okay to do, and they shouldn't have to get in any trouble for that. It's bugging me. The poor kids. Wouldn't you think that was a riot? Or would that be a disrespectful thing? You go up to the teacher, yeah, Mr. Ackerman? Good job. You're doing real good. And you slam the 20 into his hand, and he goes, what the hell? And he looks, it's a $20 bill, but he realizes it's play money. So it's you can even do it with like do it with Monopoly money. Any teacher that would get upset with that doesn't deserve to be a teacher. Okay, anyway, number one rated Phil Henry Show, Best of the Year 2000 CD. We got $104,000 toward our goal of, what do you think? Maybe, what's a nice goal? 200 grand? I think that's great. You know what? That's a good one, Melissa. Walk into the classroom and say, draw chips for everybody in the class. I want to draw chips for everybody in the class. Yeah, I guess you'd have to sing Godfather. $104,431, 877-616-7445, 877-616-PHIL, $20 for the CD, $3.50 shipping and handling, and you can pay for it by way of Visa, MasterCard, or check. Fast, courteous, and professional staff will take your order, and all of the money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. That's 877-616-7445, 877-616-PHIL, for the number one rated Phil Henry Show, Best of the Year 2000. CD. 1-800-449-8686. Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise are, I guess they're divorcing, right? And they've been married a good number of years, so I think it's shocked a lot of people, including members of a fan club for Nicole Kidman in the San Gabriel Valley, San Gabriel Valley Nicole Kidman Association, and an aspiring Los Angeles police officer, a student, owns his own business. Dave Oliva is on the line with a very interesting proposition, which he published in the newsletter for the San Gabriel Valley Nicole Kidman Association. And Dave, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Well, thank you very much.
Dave, you're a Nicole Kidman fan, huh?
Well, yes, sir, I am very much.
And you're also an aspiring police officer?
Yes, sir. I take law enforcement at L.A. Mission College, and I also eventually want to be LAPD. I'd like to basically offer my services to Nicole Kidman because...
Well, before we get into that, you want to offer your services as a bodyguard, but it goes a lot deeper than that, doesn't it?
Well, yes, sir, it does. I think Nicole Kidman... No matter what movie she does, she has a movie coming out this year called The Hours. She plays Virginia Woolf.
And it's called The Hours?
The Hours, H-O-U-R-S.
Hours, okay.
She was in Moulin Rouge. She's Eyes Wide Shut, The Peacemaker, Batman Forever, Billy Bathgate, Days of Thunder. I think there's no... I mean, she's beautiful and she's also talented, but I think... You know, I just feel like this is a good opportunity for me to say what I've always felt in my heart, because her and Tom Cruise are no longer together, and I believe that I want to say something that, you know.
Now, I understand that you want to say something to Nicole Kidman. And by the way, they were married 10 years, so they met on the set of Days of Thunder, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, I'm talking about Tom Cruise. You want to say something?
Well, I mean, I just want to say to Nicole Kidman, if she's listening to your program right now, you know, Nicole, I think a lot of ways they treated you bad. I don't think Hollywood treated you good. I think in a lot of ways, I think they treated you like a slut. They made you look like a slut. They dressed you like they got no respect for you. And I know that your heart has been broken by Tom Cruise, but I don't think that he ever loved you, and he probably made you work really hard and made you dress like a slut, you know? And
okay, are you going to be bashing Tom Cruise?
No, sir.
Well, then say, what is it that you want to say?
Well, I'd like to take... I want to say that I'm an aspiring LAPD police officer, although right now not technically am I LAPD, but I am taking criminal justice classes, and I want to say that I will take care of Nicole Kidman. No man will be able to hurt you.
Are you asking Nicole Kidman to be your wife?
Yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am.
You love her that much?
I believe that I can. I think, first of all, Mr. Henry, because I'm an aspiring police officer, no man will be able to hurt her. No one will hurt you, Nicole, as long as I'm in your life. You'll be a part of a family. You'll be part of mi familia. And being a foreigner from Australia, I know you want a family around you, not like Tom Cruise, who isn't kind to you, but spends his time with boys and men, he's a sodomite. You know that.
All right, hold on for a minute, Dave. It's Dave, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's not even comment on Tom Cruise's sexuality.
Well, I mean, the rumor is he's a gay blade. You know.
All right, let's not even comment on his sexuality. Let's keep this about Nicole Kidman. And now let's remember that you're not stalking her.
No, sir. I would never do that.
You want to ask her to be your wife.
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm not a Scientologist either, so we would be able to get along that way, because I know her and Tom Cruise didn't get along. Okay, I admit it. I'm a working man, but what I believe Nicole needs, she's been in Hollywood machine. They don't respect her, and I have my own auto detailing business. My mom cleaned out the back bedroom. I can put food on the table, and I can put a roof over her head and provide her with the love she's never had. No woman, I think, needs more than this, you know? And so that's what I'm saying.
That must have taken a lot, huh?
You know, it's how I feel, though.
So you want to marry Nicole Kidman?
I'd like her to give me a shot, yes, sir.
Okay. Let's ask a couple of questions here, if I could, Dave. You said your mom cleaned out the back bedroom?
Yes, sir.
And what is that for?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I don't want to marry her right away, okay? I want to spend 2 weeks being her bodyguard.
You want to be her bodyguard?
Yes, sir.
Well, what about the marriage thing?
Well, what I'm saying is, if after 2 weeks of being her bodyguard, she does not see that I'm the man for her, I will step aside. I will step aside.
You want to spend 2 weeks being her bodyguard?
Yes, sir, because I don't know if you are familiar with the motion picture. It came out, like, I'm not sure how long ago, but it is very similar to this. It was a movie called, okay, called The Bodyguard, okay?
And I know the movie.
Okay, well, in it, Kevin Costner wanted to have sex with, he wanted to marry Whitney Houston, and, like, he protected her and he saved her life. Next thing you know, bingo. He's having sex with Whitney Houston because he protected her and saved her life.
And you're hoping that if you become Nicole Kidman's bodyguard, you will protect her, save her life, and then she'll be married to you.
Then she'll be my wife, yes, sir. Then she'll be my wife.
Okay. Dave, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here. We're talking to Dave Oliva, and he's an aspiring police officer. He's applying to be the bodyguard for Nicole Kidman. I'm interested to ask you this question. Why would she want to be with a guy? Nothing that there's anything wrong with you, Dave, okay?
I don't think it's not about me being Mexican or anything.
No, it's not about you being Mexican. It's more about the income level that you have. You say your mother's cleaned out the back bedroom so that you and Nicole could stay there.
No, but eventually we get our own place. And I know it's not like she's living with Tom Cruise or anything, but I'm saying that I could make her happy because I know that she's tired of being in the Hollywood machine. You could look at how they make her dress like a slut. You could look at how they probably treat her like a slut, you know. And she's probably sick and tired of being poked at and having men grab at her and feel her up and everything. And I could be a respectful man for her, treat her good, and she would never have to go back to Hollywood in the way that it was.
She would be your wife and live there with your mom and everybody.
Well, eventually we'd move out. See, I think Mr. Henry, what you don't understand is that you think Nicole Kidman is all married to money. I could make her happier than Tom Cruise ever could. I'm real. I have real love for her. And not only that, but I'm sure she wants to get out of Hollywood. It's just a rat race. They treat you like a piece of meat. They don't treat you like with no respect.
And so she's waiting to get out of Hollywood.
If the right man comes along, and I believe him.
If the right man comes along, and you believe...
I believe I'm him.
You believe that you're him.
Yes, sir.
And she would be happy to live with you and your mother and...
Well, I'm not saying forever. I'm just saying until I get my own place, okay? I'm getting the money now for a deposit on my own place.
Okay, and so she would move in with you as your wife and do what? Be a housewife?
She would never have to work. I would never let her work. I have my auto detailing business. I would eventually become a LAPD police officer. I have a lot going for me. I'm taking criminal justice classes.
And she would be a housewife?
She could be a housewife to take care of her children the children she has right now. I'd be happy to bring into my home.
And Mr. Cruz would have visitation?
I'm sorry?
Mr. Cruz would have visitation with his children.
Yeah, he'd be allowed to. You mean to come see his kids?
Yeah, to come see his kids.
Yes, of course he would. But I can put food on the table. See, one of the things, Mr. Henry, that I learned in my culture, I know you're not Hispanic, but I'm Hispanic. I'm Mexican-American.
Yes, sir.
We learned very early in our culture that women, the only thing they really want is a strong man to put food on the table and to put a roof over your head. To be able to have tortillas and to be able to, put meat and beans on the table. That's all that a woman really wants. A man who can provide that. To sit down, have a spoon, eat stew, and be a family.
And Nicole Kidman might not have any interest, even apart from Tom Cruise, in a film career.
No, because Tom Cruise is the guy who kept her in a movie career. She wants to bust out.
All right, hold on for a minute. I want to give the number out here, Dave. Dave Oliva is with us, 1-800-449-8686.
You may think that I'm delusional or something.
Well, I think that I look at it. So long as you're not stalking.
No, sir, I'm not going to stalk. I'm making this appeal to Nicole Kidman. And if she wants to contact me, I will give a phone number. If she doesn't, I will not do anything. I want to be a police officer someday, so I'm not going to try to scare her nor nothing. I love her. I love her deeply, but...
But you wouldn't want to, follow her?
No. I just want her to know that I can put food on the table. I can put a roof over her head, clothes on her back, and love in her heart. And I'm the kind of man, I can put a chicken tortillas and a chicken for our dinner table and for our wedding night.
All right. Well, you're a very romantic guy.
You know.
I mean, you're kind of a throwback kind of a guy. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. That's Dave Oliva. He's an aspiring police officer. He has his own auto detailing business. And he wanted to come on our program tonight and basically say that he loves Nicole Kidman, would like her to consider marrying him. And he claims that she's sick of Hollywood, that any woman would be sick of Hollywood, that what she really wants is just to settle down with a man who's strong and can put food on a table and a roof over her head. And he said some things that I, you know, think are a little strong, like saying that Hollywood makes Nicole dress like a slut, etc. I think those are just parts that she's playing in a movie, all right? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Talking with Dave Oliva, who is a aspiring LAPD police officer. He also wants to offer his services as a bodyguard to Nicole Kidman, who, as you know, is divorced from Tom Cruise. And you're saying if after 2 weeks of being a bodyguard, she doesn't think that you're the man for her...
Then that's fine. I mean...
You think that after you being her bodyguard, she'll want you?
I believe that if she gives me 2 weeks to be her bodyguard... Let me tell you something. Let me just say this. You know, I have taken martial arts. I know how to handle myself. She's got no problem, you know, being with me, and I would protect her.
All right, let's go to Andrew on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Phil. I want to know about Dave. I think he's way out of his league, number one. And number two, I think that if the LAPD does hire this guy, I don't think anybody...
Okay, well, let me ask you a question here. Have you got that cell phone right up to your mouth or something? Where are you? Because it's breaking up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, is this better right here?
That's better, yeah. So say what you said all over again.
No, I heard what he said.
Well, I want to hear what the man said. So, Andrew, say it again.
Well, what's going on?
Well, you said I'm out of my league.
That's exactly right.
Well, how do you know, man?
What do you mean, how do I know? You're living with your parents, number one. Number two, it sounds like you don't have a job.
I got my own auto detailing business.
Well, then why do you need to be a cop?
Because I eventually do want to be a LAPD.
That's right, so you can get in the full kidney. Just like in the movie, The Bodyguard.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Okay.
It's a movie.
What do you think happened? He got her because he saved her life.
And you think that'll happen to you?
Hey, man, at least I'm trying. You'll never have Nicole Kidman with that attitude like you have. Yeah, you think that's funny? But at least I'm trying, okay? I have my dreams, and I have my dreams. What are your dreams, man? I bet
that's
you...
That's great, Dave. You need to have your dreams, though, within your reach.
Hey, man. What are your dreams, man? To be with, you know.
To be with, you know what?
Who do you want to be with? Rosie O'Donnell or something?
Well, what are we doing here? Are we insulting people? Look, it's not whether or not you got a dream that's within reach. It's whether or not you are delusional. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not delusional, man. No, I'm not delusional. I'm a guy who understands what a woman wants. And what a woman wants is food on the table and a roof over her head, okay? Not like some guy who's gay or...
We don't know about Tom Cruise being gay. I want you to stop that, all right?
Well, I mean, the guy, I heard he was a pole smoker and...
No, that's got nothing to do with anything. The word that I heard is they busted up because Tom Cruise and her do not agree on Scientology. Here is Donna on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes,
how
ma'am.
Are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think that your policeman is really just being delusional. And I'm speaking from a woman's point of view. But
Nicole
Kidman can get on a jet anytime she wants and jet around the world.
Yeah, but you know what? That's phony Hollywood.
But it's her.
That's
she's an actress. She's a movie star.
Yeah, but she'd like to get out of that and become... She wants to get out of that and...
Wants to get out of a marriage. I don't think she wants to get out of the Hollywood scene.
Well, what woman wants to be treated like a slut?
Who said she was treated like a slut? The woman's worth $40 million. I don't think she's going to settle for an average guy.
Look at the movie.
Because he can put food on the table. Watch and see.
Hey.
Her next boyfriend will be another millionaire.
You know something? If you see Nicole in the movies, they dress her up like a slut.
It doesn't matter.
She doesn't want to be a slut.
She's a grown woman. She can dress any way she wants. She was doing a Broadway play naked.
They made her do that. Tom Cruise
Nobody
made her be
nude. Nobody made her sign those forms and make all that money.
You're like a woman who's abused, you know? Like, you don't even understand that men want you to be a slut.
You don't understand women, and that's pretty obvious.
Wait a minute. You made a very good point here, Donna. She did a movie naked on stage in New York, and...
I believe Tom Cruise made her act like a slut.
What do you mean he made her? You know?
Look, Mr. Henry and this lady, with all due respect to both of you, Hollywood makes women do things that ordinarily they wouldn't do.
But nobody made her go to Hollywood.
But she thought she'd be treated... She didn't know. She didn't know about the star-making machine and how they make you lay on a couch and you have to have sex with, like, the producer of the movie.
This woman is worth, like, $40 million. She doesn't have to have sex with anybody she doesn't want to.
You know something, Donna? I think that Nicole Kidman would give it all away just to have a man who can put tortillas on the table.
Well, you know, I think you are just wrong.
My mom cleaned out the back bedroom.
How many women who are rich and powerful do you know who leave the rich and powerful and settle for an average guy?
If they want to, a man who...
But how many do it?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
Name me one woman that's left the Hollywood scene.
Hey, what happened to Kim Novak?
Kim Novak?
Yeah. She was with Alex Baldwin.
No, Kim Novak? No way.
And that's Kim Basinger. I don't know what happened to Kim Novak.
Yeah, she left Hollywood.
But she's not with some average guy.
Nicole Kidman just wants a man who can put a chicken on the table.
I think you better find yourself some nice average woman. I can cook. I make good tamales.
I can cook, too, so she wouldn't have to cook.
All right. Look, thanks for your call. I got to move on here. Roxanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello. I am just, I have to be honest. The first time I listened to your show... And this guy irritates me to no end. You know, number one, the girl's a beautiful woman. Of course she is. And what makes you think that anyone wants to sit at home and think, gee, thank you very much. Give me beans and tortillas and I can provide for you and stay at my mother's home.
You know, when we grow up,
we don't wish for those things. And then, I'm going to provide for her. That's a load of crap.
I just can't believe it. Because most women just want a roof over their head and good, sturdy food to eat.
No, that is not true. You know what? That maybe might be in the old ages, but that doesn't work anymore.
I can provide that for a woman like Nicole Kidman.
Why don't you just find a woman who would be happy with that kind of thing? And
Nicole Kidman would be.
How do you know?
Because she's had her head all messed up.
How do you know? Because a woman's smart. Only a fool can be falling for something like that.
I mean, PlayStation.
Great.
What's wrong?
That's why she is where she is right
now. What's wrong with having good, strong tortillas?
I mean, if she went away for a guy with beans and tortillas, my God, for crying out loud, she'd be worse at the laundromat, cleaning her underwear. This is ridiculous.
There's worse places to be, Roxanne, than with a man who can give you tortillas.
You can always say there's worse places to be. That holds for everything.
Oh, baloney.